Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday and happy draft day. It is here. Grizzlies have a pick. They pick 16. And I am looking forward to that today on the radio show. John Martin will be rolling in here next. Then we got Chris Harrington straight up 10 o'clock. And then Sam Hardiman. They did some testing of the air quality around Memphis and around all those turbines recently. And we'll give you the results of that when we talk with Sam. It's hot out there, Jeffrey. I don't know if you saw this from the Bartlett Police. Here you go. The always entertaining Bartlett Police social media account. Folks, due to the extreme heat, we are asking anyone thinking of conducting criminal activity to hold off. It is straight up hot as H-E double toothpicks and humid as all heck. Criminal activity in this kind of heat is next level henchman status and also very dangerous. Stay home, blast the AC, binge watch Netflix like our second responder friends do so well, or play with a face app. Let's meet again when it's cooler. That seems reasonable.
Don't studies show that when the heat goes up, crime goes up?
I think probably.
Which is also, I think...
People are irritable.
Well, I also think it's hilarious that I think our criminals are probably just like me, because I believe crime also goes down when it's cold.
Oh, no. I think freezing cold days, yes, yeah. Crime is way down then.
Yeah, but we're, hot days. We're at our best. We've got southern criminals down here.
They've adjusted to the... Yeah. I think that's probably right.
I was so happy on Saturday. Oh, everyone else was miserable. I was just so happy.
You like the blast.
Oh, it was the best.
So anyway, yeah, it's going to be hot. Yesterday was the hottest day in New York City since 2012. I saw it was 99 degrees at like noon in Central Park. So hotter there even than here. It is hot, but we got a hot show. Ridiculous. We have a perfectly tepid show. We got a mediocre show. We got a slightly overcast show.
We got a solid six coming right at you.
No, you know what we got, though? We got a Jeff Calkins show poll. Because what struck me, here we are, draft day, and we can discuss the potential picks. We can just the strategy. What tack will the Grizzlies take? We could discuss the national story, like Ace Bailey. How far will he drop? Right? Or will he drop at all? Yes.
Will he go third?
And we will. And mind you,
fear not.
We will. But one of the things that struck me was, on a day like today, I have always said that if I have faith in my front office, it really bolsters how I feel about the night.
Sure.
That fundamentally, I acknowledge in all circumstances, even with an ill-equipped front office, they know a lot more than I do. They're spending every day, analyzing these potential NBA players. They get to talk with them. They get to see the medical records. I mean, this is their job.
Hopefully.
And so, we're coming at this from a place with much less information. So even with a shakiest front office, they do have certain advantages over us out here in the peanut gallery. But then if you fundamentally believe in your front office, like I don't want him to take Nick Clifford at 16.
Yeah. That's I think we can all fundamentally agree.
One of the things I've decided.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this. If I were in Oklahoma City and Sam Presti took Nick Clifford at 16, I'm like, who am I to quibble? Right?
That's probably fair.
You know, if fundamentally, if you have faith in your front office, it's much easier to say, well, this will probably work out. Everything does. Or enough things do that I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I partly think about this. I was driving in here listening on Sportsman. Like, there was a poll in Chicago. Do you believe the Bulls front office will get it right this year, this summer, right?
Sure.
Yes, no. Simple yes, no poll. And the no's were 96%.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And they asked on that show, are there fan bases that could be more negative? That would be, and the answer to that is 100%. There are. I mean, the obvious ones, like, don't you think the Rockies and the Rockies and the White Sox?
There's a similarity between the White Sox and the Bulls.
Yeah, well, that's true too. Yes, there is a similarity. Yes, there is.
There's a common thread.
There.
But I was thinking in the NBA.
Yes, I listened to the press conference that the Buffalo Sabres GM gave yesterday, the pre-draft, because it's also the NHL.
Can you blame the tax system again?
No, but people, he actually, it wasn't a particularly offensive press conference, except for the fact that people hate him.
Right. So anytime he speaks,
they hate that he's there.
Yeah.
They hate that he hasn't been fired. And then, like, literally, the Sabres have missed the playoffs for 14 freaking straight years, and the only change they made was they fired the strength and conditioning coach. The assistant, the head coach is back, the GM is back, the assistant coach is back, and they added some guys at the margin. You know, they added an advisor.
The plan is perfect.
Whatever. And so anything he says, it literally sends that fan base, to the extent that anything is left of it, they just hate him.
You can feel everybody's blood pressure racing at the same time.
Like, they hate him. And he'll say me, yeah. And he'll say things like, you know, I really feel bad for Sabres fans because some of the stories, because of the media that are out there, whether they were going to buy out a player.
Hits.
Yeah. As opposed to, I feel bad for them because you're horrible
Correct.
At your job. Like, literally, if you did that poll in Buffalo, it would be 100%. It would not be 96%. It would be 100%. And don't you think if you did it, will the Colorado Rockies get it right this offseason? Don't you think it would be better, worse, whatever, how you want to flip it, than 96%?
I mean, they're high all the time.
They're high all the time. Yeah, well, the poll might not have a lot of participants.
Correct. But
about Jets front?
In my experience from last summer, Coors Field is a great place to go watch your team play.
Right.
And walk around.
Last summer?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, it is a beautiful ballpark.
Yeah.
And the food was spectacular.
Spectacular.
Which might be the problem.
So in the NFL, I mean, I think right now the Jets, because they've turned the page, would probably get a 60-70% positive.
George is a Jets fan, and he, relatively speaking, has faith. Right now.
Okay, here you go. Ask the Giants, do you believe, heading into this offseason, do you believe Jet would get it right this offseason? What would it have been?
Why? Like, similar to the Sabres.
100%?
I mean, everyone, it was sell the team, get rid of these guys, and then they're literally doing the
Couldn't
same thing.
Believe you're, they're bringing
like,
it back.
There's a lot of similarities.
And
in
then
what
it creates this dynamic
the
that they're going to do desperate things that
Correct.
They shouldn't do because it's not for the best interest of the franchise,
it's
whatever.
Best interest of them.
So it occurred to me that this would be a good time to ask, how do we feel about the Grizzlies front office? Because there have been times in the past when, certainly at the nadir of the Chris Wallace era, where do you believe they'd get it right? It would have been 96% no. Do you believe the Grizzlies will pick the right guy? It'll be, people literally didn't want draft picks because we're just going to blow them anyway.
Correct. They're going to waste it.
That was the reflexive.
That was the most
comment.
Annoying thing of the when we had the great tanking debate.
Yeah, when we had yes,
because so, you and I were sitting there going like, tank. This is insane.
This is obvious. Of course you tank, and we're going to
waste it.
We're going to waste it anyway. So, but then we also have been through the my God, they can do no wrong. They pick at 30th, and it turns out to be a close to all star. Mm-hmm. They pick it like this. They pick not just the occasional diamonds in the rough. Everything they touch turns to gold. King Kleiman, baby, King Kleiman, executive of the year, did win executive of the year, right?
So before Sam Presti.
So there you go. So and now, of course, they've
maybe
taken
we should reevaluate.
Now they've taken some hits. Now they've taken some hits, and so. The question is, we've been fiddling how to phrase this, but what did we come up with, Jeffrey? Before we launch it, let's.
So right now we have, what's your level of faith in the Grizzlies front office? I guess we could say confidence if you wanted.
Yeah, they're the same.
Okay, 0 to 3, lost all faith.
Okay,
4 to 6, meh. 7 to 9, still excellent.
Let's change that to still really good. Still really good. Still really good.
Done.
And what's the next one?
10 is King Kleiman.
10 is King Kleiman. I think that's a fair poll.
You ready?
Let me jump over to social media, and we will.
It's live.
It's a live poll now. Here we go. Okay, hold on here. There we are. Here it pops up. You can't vote.
I cannot.
Okay, I'm going to vote right there, and boom.
The keeper of the poll.
Okay, it's launched. So, what are 0 to 3, lost all faith, 4 to 6, meh, 7 to 9, still really good, 10, King Kleiman. I think King Kleiman will get 0, 2.
I think it's going to be a battle between meh.
It'll be still really good. I'm just trying to eliminate the other two. The other two will not get. I think lost all faith will, because people are wired this way, will. And King Kleiman, it's a 10. Lost all faith, it's a bigger bracket. It's 0 to 3.
Correct.
It will beat King Kleiman,
yes,
right?
Don't I agree.
You think?
Yes.
There will be. Okay, what percent have lost all faith? Small, under 10?
Yeah,
Single digits?
I'm going to say, somewhere in that 5 to 10 range. Because, like, as you point out, like, social media is like a.
It's a negative place.
Yeah.
But I think it will be under 10%. It'll be single digits, and there will be almost no King Kleimans. And so then it's either meh or still really good. And I think meh will beat still really good, but I voted still really good.
So the only hesitation I have is I do think, weirdly, the Desmond Bane trade made everyone feel a little better.
Oh, that'll make it more still really good, even though we don't really know how it
Correct.
Turns out.
It is still an incomplete.
So you think if we had done the same poll 2 weeks ago,
yes, I think,
it might have been different.
Yeah. But I do think that was kind of like a shot in the arm.
Do you think it's going to be close, or do you think it's going to be – who do you think is going to win? I predicted Matt, but I clearly voted because I think people are – you know, unless you win the title. But I fundamentally – I think they're smart. I think they're good. They're obviously not perfect, and they've made some huge mistakes. The Marcus Smart thing is really – that was – but
they've let a lot more talent leave than they've brought in.
Oh, no. Of late, they've really made some massive mistakes, and they made some mistakes during – now, mind you, it may not have played out anyway because the injuries happened.
Sure.
Right? But during what was a real window for winning because – the salaries hadn't kicked in yet. They utterly failed to bolster around Dez, effectively bolster around Dez, Jaren,
John,
and Ja. And now it may not have mattered again because of Ja's circumstances and the injuries and everything else, but they just did a bad job of that. They did. They did a bad job. They did a bad job with the draft picks. Really, really,
yep.
Like a lot of the swings that they were hitting on before, like obviously Zaire and Roddy and LaRavia, all whiffs to greater or lesser extent, and they did a bad job with the trades. But I still think they're smart, and I fundamentally will comfort myself tonight with whatever they do. I will tell myself and believe it. You know what? I believe in this front office. It'll probably work out, and particularly on draft night. Honestly, when it was when it was last year, and maybe that's a separate question. Maybe the separate question was, what is your confidence in their ability to have a successful night tonight? Draft night is a slightly separate question.
Yeah, because to me, that if this is just about the draft, well, I have like you said, they had some swings and misses, but I mean, good God, Sam Presti drafted Usman Jang before he drafted right. Jalen Williams.
The problem is, of course, is that people's judgment about whether it's a successful draft night tonight is going to be, it feels like, less about the player they pick than what they do with the pick.
Sure.
And so if it were simply, do I have confidence that they will pick the right player at 16 or at wherever they trade to with Brooklyn or whoever it is, do I have confidence that they will identify the right player, I think is higher than the level of confidence that they will negotiate it and make the right deals around that. And you can also ask, they've been very good at drafting.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
This is a year when they also have less information.
Yep.
Because just like us, we have not prepared as well for this draft, and they have not had the players in. Like, they've been scrambling to get players in, right?
Sure.
We know they've had some players in, but they weren't able to get first round players in to work out for them.
Because they didn't have a first round pick.
They didn't have a first round pick. So why would you send a first round player there to work out. So without looking, which is going to win?
I still think Mez going to win.
You think Mez going to win? All right, let's the poll is launched. You can see it on X. What's the current standard? What's the early? Who's off?
Early
who broke out of the gates?
Early returns are with 62 votes so far. 48.4% say meh. 40.3% say still really good, 8.1% say King Kliman,
wow.
And 3.2% say lost all faith.
So add up this the still really good and King Kliman, that gets us to what?
That would be 88.
No, still really good and King Kliman total.
Oh, that would be a 48. Now we've had a change. We're now up to 48.1% with meh, 40.5% for still really good. 6.3% say King Kliman, 5.1% say lost all faith. So that would be 46.8% for still really good to King Kliman.
All right. Here's the other thing. Do you, like Chris did his piece on the draft. You can read it at the Daily Memphian. And it is amazing how often it's not just Zach. They have traded up. Brandon Clark was a trade up.
Yep.
Desmond Bain was a trade up. Zaire Williams was a trade up. Santi was a trade up. Laravia was a trade up. This is all up or in, and Roddy was a trade up or in, right? So
yep.
These are all by dint of getting of deals. So presumably now some of those are slightly different. Like Zaire Williams, the deal was before the draft, so it wasn't to get Zaire Williams specifically.
It was to get up into the draft.
It was to get up where they thought. And I bet they were comfortable with a bunch of players, and Zaire Williams was one of them. And I bet they would have predicted that he was the most likely to fall to them.
Yeah, I think right? that's probably fair.
But it wasn't.
Because they knew they couldn't get ahead of other teams that clearly liked other guys.
So I have said I like it when my GM or front office has a conviction and goes to get someone. Is that a record that inspires confidence? On the one hand, Dez a win, Brandon Clark a win. Santi, you got to call him a win. There's no question where he was picked. He was a win. And then literally Zaire, Jake, and David Roddy were losses. That's 3-3.
Yeah, I think the real question is, like, what is the appropriate batting average?
I think 500 is pretty good in the NBA draft.
I think so, too. I guess the only argument I would make is sometimes it feels like when they hit at the position, like where they're drafting, that gets celebrated, whereas it's not as necessarily like, okay, did they actually get a difference maker? It's more of, well,
right. He's good for 16,
correct,
as opposed to did they get a difference maker here? So then we get to what they could do, and at this point we the choices. They could stay put, pick at 16. They could trade up. They could say, Sid Coward's not going to be there. We love him. We're going to go get him, and they could trade up to get the player that they like. They could trade down. Say, listen, hey, Brooklyn, take on a John Conchar salary.
You want some more picks?
And I don't think it would be more. It would be.
You want to move
it
up?
It would be different. It would be swap. Yeah. I mean, Brooklyn right now has 5 first rounders. And here's the point. They've got Caprum, and they have 4 first rounders after the Grizzlies pick. They have 5 total. Okay. So if, and this is, again, I think this is, I now think it is the most likely but least sexy thing the Grizzlies could do. Because the easiest way they have to clear cap space is by doing this.
Yeah.
To trade down with Brooklyn, you take Conchar's salary, we get the later pick, you get the earlier pick, you get a better player, and we've got more flexibility to sign Jaren Jackson Jr. Isn't that the most likely? Now, one of the interesting things there is that presupposes I'm under no illusions. They've had conversations with Jaren as well to do this. Don't you believe that?
Yes.
Jaren and his agent, right?
Yes.
And so if they do that, to me, the best part of if they do that will be, well, they're only doing that because they know Jaren was willing to do this. Don't you think that's true?
No, I think if they did not have
faith that he was willing to do it, they
correct.
Wouldn't do this.
Yeah,
they wouldn't
I
be
agree.
As interested in clearing that space. And so, to me, it's probably a smart thing to do, big picture. And for me, the best part about them doing that, if that's the way it works out tonight, is it will tell me that we have wondered, is Jaren willing to negotiate and extend? Or is he going to hold out for a year?
Right. Go to free agency.
Go to free agency, whatever else.
Entitled to, yeah.
It will signal to me, and maybe that's me jumping to a conclusion, but I think the way it works, they'll probably have a pretty good idea whether Jaren's willing to do it, and they won't do that unless he's willing to do it. So
I don't think they would have traded Dez. If they didn't feel good.
So I think that's the... That's to me the best part of that, and I think honestly, as I think about it, and I look about, I mean, there's lots of teams who have more ammunition than the Grizzlies to move up, including
sure.
Brooklyn, including Oklahoma City. They're Washington. I think has multiple picks. Like there's a bunch of teams with multiple picks.
Washington has ours
that have more ability to move around, and so I'm not persuaded that the Grizzlies will be able to pull that off. And so I think the most likely thing they will do is to trade down. And then if they take Nick Clifford, then, yeah.
Or
Liam McNeely, then. I'm a little less enthusiastic about him today than I was yesterday. There was the news that he was playing hurt, of course. But
I don't have that much concern about Liam.
The only question,
my concern with Liam is I don't know how good of a defender he'll be.
That's what I was going to say, defensively.
But I feel like we keep reimagining that Dez was some elite defender.
No, I'm not doing it vis-a-vis Dez. I just mean vis-a-vis what they need.
Sure.
Is he?
But
leave aside
they
Dez.
They need a lot.
One of the reasons they got that Dez is no longer here is they need an elite. They need better defenders. It's also true. But they can stay where they are. They can trade up. They can trade down. Or they can trade out. Right?
Yep.
And they can go get Herb Jones or whoever your favorite.
Have they done that before?
What's that?
Have they done that before? This front office.
Well, I mean, they traded out when they got Marcus Smart. It just wasn't.
Yeah, that's true.
So
they have traded out.
They have traded first round picks for players before in the sense of Marcus Smart. They traded two of them, and that obviously didn't work out. There you go. So I won't be, and I think I'm different than most people. And that there are two things that they could do that would enrage or irritate the fan base, would not make the fan base happy, but I'd be fine with.
So trading up?
One is trading up.
Okay.
Certainly using the pick or trading up. Either one of those, I'm fine with it. I don't think the Knights going to be a failure if they don't turn this into an experienced player tonight. I don't believe that. They will have other avenues to continue to augment their roster for next year, and I don't think they're a title team next year anyway. So, yes, I want them to get incrementally better. I don't think it has to happen tonight. If they stay put or if they move up, I'm happy with that, and I don't think most people would be, right?
I think that's fair. I think the fan base has decided they don't want more young players.
And then the other thing that would not make me unhappy, but I think would make a lot of people unhappy, is picking, quote-unquote, the wrong position.
I think taking another center.
Well, the worst would be taking a small backup point guard. So when I say taking the wrong position, it is at least if you took a center, you're like, oh, I get it. Like Zach Edey has a broken foot and we're going to need help this year. And who is there really behind Zach Edey anyway? And maybe he'll have persistent foot problems. Like if they took Jace Richardson, I don't know how people could talk themselves into it. Another small point guard. Again, this is where I depart. I think the hit rate is so low in the NBA draft that sure, if you were going to tell me I got a solid rotation wing or a solid rotation center or a solid rotation backup point guard, I'll take the solid rotation wing. But if you're telling me that I got, where was Sengun drafted? That I got Alperen Sengun or Zaire Williams, I'll take Sengun. How about that? In other words, one is exactly what the Grizzlies need.
16th.
Yeah, there you go. So one is what the, there you go. You give me Sengun out of this, that's my point. I want him to pick good players. And I am just not obsessed with position. And I think a lot of people particularly look at this as, we need an older guy because we need to get better next year, and we need a particular position because we need to get better next year. And I just don't see the NBA draft as the place for that. I see the NBA draft as a place where most first-round picks, particularly at 16, don't hit. There's a huge whiff rate. And so the most important thing is you get a good player. Even if he's redundant. As Chris says, I think some redundancies are worse than others. Like, If you get a little bitty backup point guard, that is really redundant. That's the one that would bother me the most, redundancy, but a big wouldn't bother me at all. Maybe Sengun is a ridiculous example because he's literally.
But I know what you're saying.
If you get a really good, I want the really good player. I just want a really good player. And people talk about this as if these players are all equal.
They will decide that they're not.
They're not going to be equal. Like Thomas Sorber and Nick Clifford, I don't know which one of them is going to be better, but one of them is going to be better.
Yeah.
And just because Nick Clifford plays the right position, if he's going to, if he's going to be Zaire Williams, again, different kind of player because Zaire was a project, Nick Clifford isn't. I don't want him. I want a good player, and I have faith in the front office. So I think that makes me, on every front, different than most people who are thinking about the Grizzlies.
I do think also there's embedded in this is if they took a big, I think deep down, like, what people would be uncomfortable with is that telling us something about Zach.
Right. But maybe it just tells you they have other plans that we haven't seen yet, you know? And that's why I go back to faith in the front office as being key.
Yeah,
here.
But I think that's
because
the key question.
Is like, if you believe in them.
You know what you say, though? If you don't have a plan, just wait.
Yeah, yeah, yes. But it also comes down to how much you believe in the front office. Like, when the Buffalo Sabres literally, Kevin Adams, watch this, Jeffrey, double bird to Kevin Adams. If he literally said yesterday, we have a plan and we're working it. Screw you. I hate you.
Prove it.
I've seen your plans.
Show your work.
Whereas when I believe they will, if they stay and pick or pick a player who's the wrong position, I believe that that's why it fundamentally comes down to a matter of faith, is that I fundamentally believe that they will have plans in other ways to improve the roster for next year. And by the way, right now, you're not penciling in anyone they pick tonight as a starter. Because right now, the starters would be Jalen Wells and KCP.
Yes.
That's who the starters are.
Are we confident they're keeping KCP?
No. I mean, they could move him, but I think likely.
Okay. Then yes, I agree with you.
I think most likely. You're not.
I agree with you.
And if they were to
unless
move.
Unless they pick a if big, they, but if they were pick to a move, big, maybe he does start.
That I suppose he could start early on. Yeah. Yes. If KCP is moved, it will be presumably for another starter. In a deal for another starter. I don't think the only way, that's true, the only way they're picking a guy tonight who's going to start is if they pick a big.
I think that's true.
That's the only way they're going to pick a guy who's
unless
start.
Someone gets hurt in camp. You know what I mean?
Again, we'll talk more about this. We'll talk more about this with John. We'll talk more about this with Chris. I probably won't with Sam. We got other things to talk to Sam about. But I acknowledge that I have different perspectives on this than other people do. How's our poll doing, Jeffrey? What's the faith in the front?
Jeff, let's hit the old refresh button here. Okay, with 138 votes tallied, what is your level of faith in the Grizzlies front office? 45.7% say 7-9. That's still really good. So that's taken a slight lead over 4-6, which is meh, at 43.5%. 5.8% say King Kleiman. 5.1% say lost all faith.
Well, there you go. There were other deals yesterday, and we mentioned that that the Celtics may not have been done trading when they dealt Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday, by the way, unhappy that he's going to Portland. What's your view of that?
I mean, get a no trade clause.
Yes, let's be honest. The reason they don't want you in Boston anymore is you make way, way, way too much money. And you did that to yourself.
Does this not rhyme with Marcus Smart?
Yeah. You make too much money for how good you are, so you no longer get to pick where you go. Yeah. And you knew when you signed the contract that is one of the risks of signing that big a contract. Now they just wanted to get rid of the contract. You can be unhappy all you want. You're in Portland. I got no sympathy for you. You're in Portland because you're making $35 million a year. If you were making $12 million a year, you wouldn't be in Portland. You're in Portland because, and again, you earned it, whatever else. You're making $35 million a year. And the idea that they're going to be able to move, Portland's going to now move him. No one wants that contract. It's a toxic contract for a 35-year-old dude.
I've decided I'm so out on the guys that have these big deals complaining about getting traded.
Yeah. No, literally the reason. Here.
They aren't doing the math. It's to your point. The reason, you know why you got traded?
You got traded because you're not worth the money.
Correct.
That you insisted you should get. So that's fine. Like if I'm, most people in America, if they aren't worth the money, they get fired.
Yeah.
You know, that's what happens. They get fired. And the truth of the matter is,
yours is guaranteed.
Even in the NFL, they get fired. You know, I mean, they get fired. And the NFL, if you are an NFL player, Drew Holiday, you could pick your place to play because you'd be cut. And you wouldn't get, you'd get the bonus money that you got on the front end, and then you could go play for the money that you're actually worth somewhere else. The problem is because you have guaranteed contracts, you're not worth it anymore. Literally, most people in America, if they're making dramatically more money than they are worth, they get fired.
Correct.
All you get is to continue to make every single penny that you're not worth in a place where it rains.
Yes.
Get over it. I got no sympathy whatsoever for that. But then they disgorged Kristaps Porzingis, goes to the Hawks, three-way deal that got Brooklyn got another first for taking on Terrence Mann's salary. So they are up to five first-rounders. They surely will not pick five players tonight. And so
if it was Bobby Box or somebody put up, they have a sixth of the draft right now.
Yeah, it's crazy. But it makes sense, honestly, for Atlanta. One reason it makes sense for Atlanta is they don't have their own pick. So we might as well try to be good for a year.
And we're in the East.
The East is wide open. We get Porzingis. Like, this could be okay. They could be a sneaky team next year. Depending on health, of course.
Yeah.
But whatever, that makes sense. I didn't really understand the C.J. McCollum, Jordan Poole deal for
I'm with you.
Either side particularly.
If
you're the Wizards, you're like, we could use the guy is a leader. He's a,
I think that's
a Players Association guy. We have a young team. We're going to bring in an experience. It's a little bit of the Marcus Smart thing here.
That was where my mind
only went. Hopefully he works out better for him.
Because Giannotto said that part of when they made the decision to do some of the stuff that they did late in the year was, we have these young guys. We want to show them how to be professional.
Yeah. And so that makes sense. And they already have Marcus Smart, too.
Right.
Jordan Poole, maybe he'll be available. Like, he whatever.
I think they wanted to get some tradable contracts.
Whatnot. He wasn't bad last year, honestly. So that deal happened. But what you see, amazingly, is with the Celtics, they literally traded Jrue Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis.
For Georgie?
And they got a gunner who doesn't play defense and some second-round picks. And everyone thinks they made out like bandits. Like, that's the thing. Because
they're getting out of
out of it. Like, it's just, it is, it's your point. It's a hard cap.
Yeah.
You just don't want, the Boston Celtics do not want to be in the second apron.
Especially with the new owners.
And so they did what they did. All right. We'll talk more about this with all sorts of folks.
God, do you love a draft?
I do love a draft. I do love a draft. Absolutely. And I have faith, unlike some of you out there.
More people have faith than I thought.
The still excellent is, combine the still excellent and the King Kliman again, what do we get to?
Still really good and King Kliman. Really so that'd be 47% say still really good, which is leading, and then 4.9%. So by my math, it's 51.9%.
Over, yeah. Yeah. There you go. Most of you feel pretty good about things, as do I, I'll be honest. Okay. If you have something framed, Frame Corner is the place to go. I've told you that before, but I tell you it again because it's true. 50 years of custom framing. You get to 10 years, you're pretty good at it. So what you do if you're doing it for 10 years. But you do it for 50 years. They're legendary at this point. So if you have something that you want, sports memorabilia, collection of photos, anything that you want framed perfectly and hung on your wall, the Frame Corner is the place to go. They preserve memories. And nobody does it better for 50 years. 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. Joined next by John Martin. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by John Martin, Jason and John, every single day from 11 until 2. So, John, do you have a conviction about any of the players that the Grizzlies, and you are a close watcher of college basketball. You're even a national voice on college basketball. So you've seen these guys in a way that a lot of us who hadn't prepared for the draft have not. Who do you have a conviction about?
Well, I'll actually have a piece up at the Daily Memphian a little bit later tonight about fits and best fits, in my view, later tonight. Uh-huh. So be looking out for tonight? That because I am, as you said, yes, as you said.
Tonight's a little late. Tonight the fits will be in. Fits
will
be done.
Point. I'm going to be ranking the fits.
Oh, as it unfolds.
Right. I have to wait for the picks to be made, Jeff, as you know. I mean, I don't know who the picks are going to be.
Right.
So I'm going to wait.
I see. You're not doing best fits in proper. Here, okay, so by the way, this is one of my – I've now interrupted you. I apologize. One of my takes is I don't give a damn about fits. Let me ask you this. Who would you rather the Grizzlies pick at 16? Sengun or Zaire Williams?
Oh, yes.
By the way, where Sengun was picked.
16.
Give me a damn good player. Fit. I don't care about
I mean,
fit.
Picks. I mean, I'm going to rank my best picks. Like, who made the best picks?
I thought you said fits.
But that's not, I didn't mean like, oh, who positionally
fits. Those are very different words. Fits and picks are different words.
Yeah, okay. But I was just, you're getting hung up.
Okay.
But I'll have that a little bit later. In terms of, you know, who do I feel conviction about?
Yeah. Okay, you already don't sound like you have a lot of conviction. I'll be honest.
You're hemming. Honestly, I don't. I mean, I think if you do, you know, I mean, how many guys do we see wash out, right? I mean, it happens all the time, even in the top five, the top six. I think, like, even a guy like Jeremiah Fears, who I love, you know, I think he's a great point guard and kept Oklahoma from being a 4-win team last year. He's 6 foot tall, 180 pounds. You know, like
right.
the history of those guys being great in the NBA is not that extensive. But I like him a lot, right? I mean, Cooper Flagg will be
that's fine. How do you feel? How do you feel about Ace Bailey?
I would draft him at 16.
That's not the question. Would you have him at 3, 4, 5? Would you just skip it?
I was gonna get there. You're very churched today.
Sorry. I mean, I'll try to be more laid back. I'll try to be more laid back.
Yeah, I know the tensions are running very high because it's draft day. You know, where everybody's anxious. What are the Grizzlies gonna do? Mm-hmm. You know, I get it. I absolutely understand. I think he's got a lot of problems. He's shorter than people thought. He's not a winner whatsoever. He's not working out for people. His agent's a drug dealer. I think he's a guy that if I'm building around Ace Bailey, if that's what I have to do, I'm not selecting Ace Bailey. If I can introduce him to a culture where he can learn and develop and be a winner and learn how to be that, you know, in a place that doesn't need him right away, that's a place I might think about taking him, like the Grizzlies at 16. But I'm not taking him in the top five, and I think that's why you're kind of seeing, you know, he's slipped. He's slipped in a lot of mock drafts.
How do you feel about – here's another guy. Like a lot of these guys, like if you have – I don't expect you to have a conviction about Cedric Coward because you've never seen him. You know, like have you ever seen him? I don't believe you've ever seen him, right?
No.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, none of us have. Like, whatever. To the extent that we like it, we like the idea of him from what we've read. But I presume you've seen Colin Murray-Boyles, right? Like, he's a guy who played in the SEC. You bet on the SEC. You watch the SEC. How do you feel about him as a player?
I mean, he's cerebral. He's, you know, can make some shots, you know. I mean, he was pretty much the only consistently redeeming thing about that South Carolina team last year, but that really is not saying much at all. I don't see it for him in the NBA. I just don't. Yeah. I mean, I know
Yeah, I think he's too small. I don't think he's athletic enough.
He's a sexy pick. Like, the nerds like him. You know? Okay, how about
Yeah, because his true shooting percentages and all that stuff. But it's like, are you a dude or not?
All that stuff. How about Derek?
Are you a dude?
Okay, Derek Queen. He's a dude.
Yeah, he's big and can run the floor and, you know, handle the ball a little bit. But I think he's a plotter too. I don't see the defensive ability there. I think that's a big thing with the bigs, right? Like you know who I really like? Kaman Malawach. I like him a lot. Now, he's going to be a zero on offense. Like, he's right. Not going to do anything for you on
Peter,
offense.
My son,
like,
Peter doesn't love him.
Well, Peter has had some controversial opinions from, you know.
Yes, he has had some controversial opinions. He didn't love the Dez trade necessarily. He's willing to see what happens. He's willing to see what happens. Here's a guy who you love, and I think Harrington loves. And this gets back to my I don't care about fit. Thomas Sorber. You like him, don't you?
I think Thomas Sorber has a chance in 3 to 4 years to be a great NBA center. Absolutely. You know, what I love about Thomas Sorber is he played with – I mean, that Georgetown team was so bad. It was so bad, had, like, no guards on it. And before he got injured, you know, he was, like – he was doing everything for them. He was blocking shots. He was making shots. He was doing literally everything on the court. And what was most impressive about him is that he's big. He's 6'10", 6'11". You know, I'm sure he'll be listed at 7 when he goes in the NBA. And he's put together real well. Like, you can see him adding on to the frame. It's not going to be a problem. You know, and he's young. He was a true freshman last year. And it's like, when you're a true freshman in this college game today and you can contribute like that in the Big East, you're definitely special. And, you know, I know maybe the injury is a little worrisome for people, or they didn't see him shoot a ton of threes, and, you know, that's today's game. But if he was the pick at 16 – again, people would be like, what are the Grizzlies doing? They just drafted Zach Edey. But, man, he's a talent. He is such a talent.
You'd be fine with it. How about, here's a guy you don't like, I think, Liam McNeely.
Yeah, pass. I just was never impressed with him because, you know, you heard so much about him, and Dan Hurley just insisted on playing him, but he's unathletic. He didn't shoot the ball nearly as well as you thought he would, you know, because you heard so much about him as a freshman coming in. I just think he's going to have a really hard time with that transition to NBA speed and athleticism and defending people. Like, he's big. I get it. You know, you got the theoretical shooting, but I think he's a bust.
Okay. How about, I'll give you a couple more. Just names of guys who, my prediction now is the Grizzlies trade down for 26 or 27. That's the Brooklyn later, one of the two later picks, and probably 27. And they get rid of some money, right? And whatever. So, guys, who knows? It could be picking much later, right? So, how about Asa Newell, or not a fit for the Grizzlies necessarily, but I'm curious what you think about Walter Clayton Jr.
You know, Asa Newell, I'm very lukewarm about. Like, he's a big, like, whatever. He's an athletic, rangy big. Kind of feels like a dime a dozen guy. That, you know, you can draft Asa Newell every year at 20 if you want. You know, I don't think there's anything necessarily that special about his game. You know, Walter Clayton is really interesting to me because I'm getting, like, Steph vibes a little bit. Like, not that he's the you know, same player, not that he's going to go on to be the greatest shooter of all time, but, you know, it's been a while since we've seen a guy just singularly transform his stock because of the NCAA tournament. You know, like, Steph was probably the last guy that did that. And he was so clutch, and he was so unstoppable. Like, he definitely has a great first dribble, can pull up anywhere on balance, in rhythm. I think he's going to be a good NBA player. I do, especially with the way he can play point guard. He's decently sized. Like, he's not a small guy. I think Walter Clayton is going to end up being a pretty good NBA player.
I'll give you two more. Have you seen St. Joe's much? Is Rashear Fleming a guy who who's crossed?
I've never heard of him. I don't know nothing about
him. Here's a guy you've heard of, Cam Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, probably a second round guy. You know
who loves him? Hollinger. Hollinger has him like 16 overall or something like that on his overall board. Loves him.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see it for him. I guess he's had the ball decently enough at Marquette over the years. I don't know. I don't really see a path for him. I can't really tell you why. You know, sometimes it's just on
vibes.
Well, I mean,
because he's not a big guy. He's not a great shooter. He's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't. I think he's kind of stuck in the middle.
Some people are just basketball players, John. They're just basketball players. No,
he'll have a chance. Like, he definitely will have a chance to make a roster, like, have a good summer league. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of where his chance will be, is, like, go to Vegas and absolutely crush it in summer league and try to get on a two-way. And
I think he'll be drafted. And at the worst, he'll
be
on a
two-way. Yeah, but they'll probably put him on a two-way, though, right?
I mean, at worst, I would think, maybe. All right. Penny spoke again last night, by the way. Tiger's on tour. He said that they have some guys who haven't been announced. Right now, they got 12 on the roster, right? They can take as many as 15. And I think the previous week he said, we're going to get to 13 anyway. How are you feeling about the roster? About what's going to happen with the roster?
There's a big mystery player, a big mystery player that nobody knows about that's being talked about as a potential top five pick. I'm just kidding. I'm making that up.
God, I was intrigued.
I know. You're like,
top five pick. So, well, there is a mystery player. There is a mystery player. He may not be a big player. I mean, he's good. Presumably, he's a big too.
Right. Exactly. I don't. It's not somebody that I'm like holding out hope for, right? Like, oh, this guy's going to change the team. I like it. I like this Memphis basketball team. I don't love it. I think you're having to sort of price in some production jumps for everybody is the issue.
Not unreasonable, though. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think I was hearing what Parth say this. If you look at what, obviously with P.J. Haggerty, he was productive before he got here, right? But if you can extrapolate what happened with Dane Danger as he came to Memphis and apply it to two or three guys on this team, which is not unreasonable, you can see it unfolding very well, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm high on Curtis Givens, as everybody likes to make fun of me for, but I just love the fact that he was one of very few SEC point guards that played as a freshman, you know, like, I think that means something. I think that's the signal. Zach Davis has positional versatility, and again, is going from the SEC meat grinder to the AAC, which is a pillow fight, you know, in comparison. So, you know, I think, you know, Aaron Bradshaw is a top five pick. Like the number of top five picks that have played at Memphis in the modern era. In the Rivals era.
Top five ranked. Not a pick, but a top five.
Oh, yeah, top five. At one time, he was thought to be a top five pick. But, yes, a top five player come out of high school, you can count on three fingers. The talent, I know people are down on it. Like, Parth and I did a Tigers talk that was heard around the world.
That's right. Ed Scott referenced it, and we appreciate him reading the Daily Memphian, of course.
And I'll also say to Ed, like, he could call me John, right? Like,
he called me Mr. Martin.
Right. Like, if I was, this is just me. If I was talking about Ed the way I'm talking about Ed right now, I'm not calling him Dr. Scott. I don't mean that out of a disrespect. It's like, I think Ed and I can be on a first name basis, right? Ed can call me John, and hopefully I can call Ed.
Right.
But if he wants me to call him Doctor, I'll call him Doctor. You know, I'll respect whoever's wishes. But, yeah, I mean, I think in that Tigers Talk part to ask me, he goes, is this Penny's worst roster ever? You know, like, and the answer is yes, but it's still 40th. You know, like, if 40th
it's the worst roster ever, except for the first one, and it's not a bad roster.
Right.
Sincere Parker, obviously, has a track record, and Doug McDaniel, if he was what he was at Michigan, like, those are four guys who you can, yes, you need jumps from them all, but they're not unreasonable.
Totally, you know, can see a world where all those guys come in. Penny actually does have a very good track record with taking these guys and maximizing what they can do. I mean, Dane Danger came in here and like, I'm hearing very good pro feedback on him. I heard from an NBA person who works for an NBA team 2 days ago that they were blown away by a workout that he had. I'm not going to say who it was with, but they were like, they couldn't believe how good he was. Right? This is a guy that was coming off the bench.
It's funny. One of the things I said yesterday on Gabe's show was watching the Memphis-Colorado State game. Again, the second half went out the second half. If you'd asked me who the pro was on that floor, I wouldn't have said Nate Clifford.
No, 100%. Like, Dane has a lot of the skills that NBA teams, he doesn't have the rim protection, but man, he's got such touch. He's got such good footwork. He's pretty big. He's a great passer. Like, he actually, I think he's going to get a chance with somebody on a you know, two-way potentially or something. Like, that's the vibe I get. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but this particular person that works for an NBA team was like, I could not believe how good this dude is. And I do think that year with Penny helped him. So Penny's got a very good – Tyrese Hunter had his best three-point shooting year ever. Maybe that's AAC, but they played a hell of a schedule. You know, I think it's Penny getting his hands on you. And he, I mean, he's one of the best NBA players ever. Like, it's really not that surprising that his individual skill development is through the roof. So I don't think it's that crazy to anticipate these guys coming in here and individually all getting better. The piece we've always worried about with Penny is not individuals. It's team, you know? Like, can you get the team where it needs to be? But individually, I think all those jumps are going to happen.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it, man.
Yep.
All right, we got to get out of here. Chris Harrington coming up next. Jeff Calkins, Show 92.9 FM ESPN.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.